Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Are you serious?
Sorry about that.
That's a design to say, I've had a good Christmas. Yeah,
that is... Whoa, that was a good one. This is How to Kill It Now. My name is Marcus Bronzy.
And I'm producer Bill.
How's yeah, man. Going? Oh, I think that burp summed up Christmas all in one go, man. I have never felt so fat in my life, bro. I mean... I'm eating a lot at the moment. I'm big Bronzy at the moment. I'm not trim Bronzy. My God, it was absolutely disgusting the amount that I consumed over Christmas. I feel like there's going to be a legend amongst me for turkeys. Like, there's a beast. He can eat one of you in 10 seconds. Like, bruv, I've eaten so much meat and cheese and drank brandy with full fat Coca-Cola as well. And had cake. And mince pies. No Brussels sprouts, though.
Sweets. Chocolate.
No, I've not had room, bruv. What did I have? I had some roses. I had, like, the sweetest ones, the strawberry-flavoured roses.
You're not a Heroes or Celebrations kind of guy.
Nah, man, they're new school. I'm a Roses or Quality Street kind of guy. Well, you know about Quality Street. You get me?
All right, fair enough. Well, Quality Street, I do like the turkey penny. The turkey penny? The toffee penny.
The toffee penny. I've lost a tooth on one of those. When I was a kid, I had a wobbly tooth, yomped into one of those, and it took my tooth with it.
Must have been a good penny.
It was a strong one. Do you like the pennies when they're warmed up? Are you a sucker or a chewer? Do you suck the penny, Bill, or do you chew it down and then swallow?
A bit of both.
You're a sucker than a swallow? Swallow?
Hey, pause. I don't know. Just sometimes you could just chew it, but then again,
sometimes, yeah, instinct gets you over in the,
it's like,
the
suck oh, I'll and have swallow. To, I'll have to wait.
Suck and swallow instinct just kicks in and you just crack on then, yeah, Bill?
Pause.
Bill's smiling. Do you want a toffee now?
No, I'm good.
All right,
I'm
cool.
Good.
All right. You've had your fill of toffees? Yeah, man. I've just ate and drank so much and I don't think I'm going to stop until 2020, mate.
No.
Nah, man. You know when you wake up in the middle of the night and it's you're a little bit peckish, what do you do usually?
I'd be like, oh, I'm hungry, and then go back to sleep again.
Same. That's what I usually do. Instead, I've been like, turkey sandwich, whatever. If I'm going to have a turkey sandwich, might as well put some stuffing in it. Might as well have some gravy on it as well. Might as well.
Hang on a minute.
What? You don't know about
gravy
in the
sandwich.
You don't know how to, bruv. One second.
You need a knife and fork to eat that toast. Sandwich.
Of course, it's a Christmas sandwich that doesn't go everywhere. Yeah, needs to. No, not maybe not a knife and fork, but like you don't know about a moist maker. Yeah,
I'm from not friends. Having this. Hang on.
A piece of bread. Three pieces
question,
of bread. Yeah,
big question coming.
Go on.
Thick gravy or watery gravy?
Thick gravy, man. I'm a
thick gravy. All
I'm a
day.
Thick gravy. I like that thick juice. Come on, man. I'm not about that water gravy. Oh, is that what you're thinking? Like water gravy?
Now,
like
even well, thick, it depends how thick your gravy
I like that
is.
Thick gravy, man. My gravy's thick. Anyone comes around me, better know that I'm producing the thickest gravy known to mankind.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I will deliver it batch after batch every Christmas. It's out there, mate. So I got the thick gravy, and yeah, man, just me smashing those sandwiches, and cake, and sweets. And a biscuit and cheese as well. It's been great.
Just
man.
Everything.
I feel like my cholesterol, my heart level's just been higher for the last few days because I've been pumping around all this junk. Anyway, so this is the Boxing Day episode of How to Kill an Hour. We were joined by Kay Curd very recently. We're going to jump into that real soon. Kay Curd is an absolutely amazing comedian. He has been writing with Charlie Brooker, the guy behind Black Mirror. He's been writing some comedy with him for some content that's been out over the Christmas season, actually. I definitely do not say this lightly. Keep an eye out for this guy, because big things are already happening. He's not just destined for them. We're going to jump into that interview soon. But yeah, go on, what's up, Bill?
Big things and big rings.
Big things and big... What's that mean?
That's Drake and Future.
Oh, yeah, big rings. Okay, yeah. Hip-hop reference that I missed. What am I playing at? So I'm about to jump into that. But first, we've got a little conversation about some ways to kill time. Now, it's probably the wrong time of year for us to be pitching Christmas presents to you, but I think the relevance of this potential product could be something that could change lives for people. Now, I know that over the Christmas period, everyone's had a lot of Christmas parties over the last few weeks. People are going out for Boxing Day, having a few beverages, hooking up, because yeah, it's cuffing season, but some people are still single. And, you know, I believe that some people have been caught short in the past, you know what I mean? Getting ready for a little bit of nookie, yeah? And then one of you goes, you got Johnny? You got any protection? Have you got something? And the other, and you both look at each other like, whoa. Way back in 2013, Durex ran a marketing campaign called SOS Condom. Can we just play a quick clip of that, Billy? And then we'll get back into the real life version.
Everybody knows that particular situation when a date starts off really well. And then she asks that terrible question, do you have a condom? But did you ever notice that you never have a condom when you need it? There is a solution. SOS Condoms application. SOS Condoms will save your date in every situation, wherever the place, and our teams will take care of the rest. And find the best way to deliver to you personally. Here is SOS Condoms, the new application powered by Durex. SOS Condoms. It will save your date.
So there you have it. SOS Condom from Durex. Now, this was quite a funny little fake app that wasn't really a real thing, but we found out recently at How to Kill an Hour that it may actually become a thing in China and parts of Latin America. Now, lovers in Colombia, Argentina, Brazil, Peru, and Mexico can get rubbers delivered in up to 30 minutes. 30 minutes. You know what, Bill? Things can cool off in 30 minutes, you know. What do you do for 30 minutes? Some people might just be like, well, I can't be bothered. Other people might be like, oh, 30 minutes, can't wait.
Might just go to the shop yourself.
Yeah, if you go to the shop yourself with your radium boner, walk into, don't wear, yeah, you got to either tuck it, you know the waistband tuck at school, the tuck up. Come on, Bill, we all know about it, the tuck up. When I was at school and my teenage dick just wanted to just come out for no reason and just get a massive erection, you have to tuck it up. Luckily, my uniform was a tracksuit bottom.
Standing in the middle of maths, just learning about Pythagoras' theorem.
Yeah. And ding. Like, Pythagoras has nothing to do with sex. It's like, hey, but you know, 3.14. anyway, yeah, so they can deliver it in 30 minutes, which, like, as Billy said, is all right, but you know. In Shanghai, Alibaba, a huge retail company, delivering condoms between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. Those are definitely nookie hours where the shop might be closed, though.
Imagine if someone asks you, oh, what do you do for a job? Oh, I
save lives.
Yeah, I work overnight. Yeah. And yeah. Okay, you work night shift. Yeah, I do.
Work overnight.
What do you do? Oh, I deliver condoms.
Save lives. I save lives, bro. That's what I do. I'm out here saving lives.
I mean, the world population is getting quite large, 8 billion people. I mean, he's kind of trying to keep that low.
Yeah. Who would be the best people to deliver condoms in the UK if this actually became a thing here?
Chris Eubank.
Why Chris Eubanks, Billy, specifically? I was thinking more like Deliveroo, bruv.
Oh, okay.
Why Chris Eubanks of all people?
I don't just thought I thought it'd be quite funny. I mean, you laughed.
But yeah, Deliveroo would be a good one. That would be nice. Or Uber.
Or the condom. Guy that goes, remember that this year or last year before? When
they were why are you coming fast?
That guy, you knew what I was going to say.
Why are you coming fast?
That guy.
That would be great. What, him delivering that? What, don't come fast! There you go. I think I'm all up for them having a service like this. How much would you pay for a condom? I have seen toilet attendants in I've been in clubs quite a bit, obviously a DJ and stuff. I've seen a toilet attendant charge a man who was desperate for a condom £5.
Should they just put money in the machine, in the thing
no
on the wall?
No machine, bruv. There was no machine there. And he, do you know what? I thought, fucking hell, supply and demand at its best. This is a pure example of supply and demand, because that condom was like some, it was like a Duraflex. It wasn't a Durex. But this guy looked at him and said, looked at the toilet attendant, can I have a condom? He's like, £5. And the guy was like, ah, oh, you're a cunt. Boy, anyway.
That's like that. That's like when you have burger vans outside, or you have a corner shop. It's expensive, but you can't be asked to walk to the shop. Just like, ah.
Oh. Water at a festival that isn't, you know, the tap stuff. If you get a bottle of water or food.
Food outside a football stadium.
Yeah.
10 quid for a burger and chips.
A shit in a
and
tray.
And there's no drink.
Yeah. But however, I would pay a little bit more if it was one of these newfangled condoms that we've also got an article about on How to Kill an Hour. And that is the self-lubricating condom. They're a thing now, Billy. A self-lubricating condom. And that is, bruv, we've come a long way, you know. Do you know what we used to use as condoms, Billy?
Pig intestines.
That's right, livestock intestines. Now, I believe that probably half of that preventing sex happening would be... No, but half, I believe half of that would be just people seeing that and going, nah, we're not doing it. Even the guy goes, not putting that on. Or he puts it on and the woman goes, yeah, nah, it's not happening. Can you imagine that? Strapping up with a bit of pig intestine.
It's a bit...
Fucking hell.
Brings a
How
whole
does
new,
that work? Did they wash it
brings
out?
Brings a whole new
it?
Meaning to porked.
Oh, porking. Do you think that's where it came from? Oh, yeah, give it a good porking.
Imagine it could have been.
So yeah, do you reckon?
What, the joke or the came from that?
Yeah.
Possibly.
And was it a fresh piece of livestock intestine? Because that's like bloody and shit, man.
It's got to be
and
clean,
shitty,
surely.
It's shitty. Because it's an intestine. Intestines handle shit.
Yeah, moving on.
So, especially if you're well endowed, you can't be going for that small intestine. You got to go for the large intestine. You get me, fam? And that's got the real poo-poo bits in it. You get me? Go on.
Going to need a hog.
A hog, that's it. Actually, I was speaking to a German person the other day about different casual ways of saying sex. Like, you know, like we're talking about slang ways of having sex. So I was like, yeah, like, so for example, here we've got like bang, smash. Smash is quite international. Like they knew about that. They were like, yeah, know about smash. I asked for a literal translation. Now there's a German translation, which means you've had sex with someone. It's like kind of like a guy thing to say, like, yeah, bang the shit out of it. Smash the granny out of it. You know, them kind of ones. Yeah. And its literal translation is I punched her away.
What?
That's what it means. So, when German people are bragging about sex or bros, they're saying, yeah, bro, I punched her away, bro.
It's so odd.
I punched her away, man. Fucking hell, punching someone away. That sounds disgraceful, bruv.
Doesn't sound very loving.
It beats smash the granny out of, you get me, which I think is the most disgusting term. What do you think is the most used term around you and your mates? The most bro-y thing. I'm not saying you say it, Billy. I know you want to pretend you're a nice guy.
Twatted.
You twatted her. Rah. Nasty. Anyway, so condoms at the moment can come ribbed, they can come lubricated, they can even glow in the dark. Hell, that's fucking funny. Vroom, Star Wars. Vroom. Also, they can come with self-warming gels and stuff like that. But now they can self-lubricate. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation ran a competition to see who could build the best condom. And basically, a research team created a condom which gets slippery and wet. Specially designed layer of hydrophilic polymers coat the condom surface. When they're rubbed, aka activated, the moisture becomes slick. They become slick and moisty. So basically, they're made out of stuff that's not that lubey, but as soon as it comes into some contact with physical warmth and body, they start to get slimy. That's quite nice, isn't it? Now, that's good because condom usually wears out. Lubricant usually wears out off a condom, right? Unless you're mad sick like me, you get me. but this special condom doesn't. Apparently, you get 1,000 thrusts out of it. I don't know. It says apparently typical sex intercourse is anywhere between 100 and 500 thrusts.
I was about to say, yeah,
really?
There's a stat on the website.
100 thrusts? 100 thrusts. It's not doing us any favours for numbers, that average, is it?
I mean,
for timing,
some
isn't
people
it?
Like, some very, like, some got a mental image there of you fapping.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's like 98 more pumps than 2 pumps on a wiggle. And I'm not saying that's what I do, but you know, happens to all of us. Now the researchers were awarded £100,000 to complete these condoms. Now, Billy, there's more information here, but I just want to know where you can get these condoms from and when.
You can't.
Not yet. Not yet. But 73% of the 33 who participated in the condom testing said they preferred the new condom design. And they said they'd also be more likely to use a condom if it was inherently slippery. While those who never used the condom stated they consider using it, one of the self-lubricated ones, if they existed. There we go. As long as it's not like a comedic slippery, like you take it out of the packet, it's like, you drop it.
What was that?
You know, like that. Oh, it's just dropped on the floor. But yeah, there you go. Self-lubricating condoms. Onto something a little bit more sensible. Electric cars, Billy. How long do you think they've been around for?
2 years.
2 years. I'd say 10 before I read this article. 1899. New York City's taxi cabs. 90% of them were electric vehicles. These cabs were built by the Electric Carriage and Wagon Company of Philadelphia.
So yeah. If only that had carried on, we'd never even have petrol cars. We'd only have electric.
Exactly. Furthermore, in 1899 and 1900, electric cars there were more of them than there are other types of cars, apparently, though. This includes gas and steam-powered ones. The Baker Torpedo, a 1902 electric vehicle, became the first car to have an aerodynamic body, which enclosed the driver and the platform.
Torpedo.
The torpedo. It reached 80 miles an hour.
How fast does that sound?
80 miles an hour. That's fucking fast.
Back then, that would have been light years ahead of everything else.
Exactly. Further tests said it reached speeds of 120 miles per hour. Rapid.
It's not bad, especially in 1899, it, you said?
Yeah. 1902. It's not bad at all. Now, are they propelled in the 1880s when Thomas Edison invented the light bulb? The light bulb also increased the distribution of electricity and provided the infrastructure needed for an electric car to be viable for the public, right?
I mean, when you think about it, 1902 is only what? One and a half persons? 100 years?
Yeah. Generations?
It's not that long.
One and a half persons.
Yeah, one person in 20 years old.
You're right. And steam-powered cars needed 45 minutes on a cold day to get going. But basically, it was, you know, the death of the electric car. I mean, we can talk more about it if you want. So basically, they were very popular. In 1914, the Detroit electric car, which had a range of 80 miles on a single charge, was the favorite car. None other than Clara Ford, Henry Ford's wife. He bought the car for her, despite the fact that at the time his company was basically presently breaking the balls of the electric car industry. So that's right. Henry Ford's wife had one of these. And in fact, when I went and looked at the Mustang, they actually had a picture of the car up, the new Mustang electric vehicle. They had a picture of this car up and some information about Clara kind of saying she wanted to get involved in this electric vehicle business. Interesting, isn't it? They cost $1,000, which is, I don't know what that is in today's money.
A lot.
Lavish models were $3,000. But in 1915, Henry Ford was able to offer cars for $500. So that's about $10,000 in English right now. All right. And his hugely innovative assembly line construction was the main reason for offering his cars so cheaply compared to the electric vehicles, making them way more affordable. So I can, as you can see, that kind of made electric cars a bit more redundant. And so by 1935, the electric car was dead. Made a comeback in the 60s for a little bit. Wasn't very successful. I believe there were some cabs about 10 years ago. I think Ford had a hand in there in New York. Didn't catch. But over the last few years, we've obviously had the Nissan Leafs. We had big rise of kind of plug-in hybrids and full EVs. So here we are in electric vehicle world. I've given you some chat for Christmas time.
I think Elon has kind of helped propel that into
Yeah, but his truck looks so dumb, bruv.
I quite like looking
at it. Do you like it? How can you, bruv? You like it? I don't like
it. Not like it. I can see the reason behind it.
What's the reason for it looking like a block of Lego?
The material they've made out of can't bend. So it's built to be like solid. So it can't bend. So it's done like that. So it's meant to be like really hard wearing. And
all right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Still looks ugly though. So yeah, before we jump into the interview, okay, Billy's like, whatever, mate. A device that I had some fun with over Christmas time has been the Pure Stream R. Put simply, it is a small portable radio, DAB and Bluetooth player from Pure, which are known for very high quality radios.
It is hefty.
It is quite heavy, isn't it? It's quite heavy.
It
packs a punch. It sounds great. There's a video of me unboxing it for our feature on YouTube called What's in the Box? So you can check that out. But in short, it's great to know that you have a Bluetooth device you can play your Apple Music or Spotify from, DAB, and also it's connected to Alexa as well. So you can say, hey, Alexa, play the How to Kill an Hour podcast, and it'll play it. Hey, Alexa, play the How to Kill an Hour podcast. Shout out to you if you've got. Hey, Siri, play the How to Kill an Hour podcast. Hey, Google, play the How to Kill an Hour podcast. I'm just saying that to see if it plays on anyone's devices there. But yeah, it's Alexa integrated. So you can say, hey, Alexa, play the podcast. And I'll be honest, it was fun. Enjoyed it. Battery's all right as well. Lasted quite a bit, but I kept it charging most of the time, if I'm honest. But yeah, it's nice. I'll tell you what's good. Combining Spotify, you can do collaborative playlists now on Spotify. So I can have a playlist, share it with you, Bill, and you can add tracks to it as I do. So you can make a little party playlist. Nice.
Solid.
Yeah. Anyway, without further ado, let's jump into our interview with Kay Curd. This is the second time he popped on the show, and brought him on to discuss his amazing achievement of being on live at the Apollo and loads of other stuff. So without further ado, Billy, let's press play on it.
Are you serious?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, this is How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy. This is the show where we like to find new ways to kill time and invite guests on that like to find new ways to kill time or provide ways for us to kill time. On today's show, for the second time, I'd like to welcome back Kay Curd. Let's have a round of applause. Yes! I feel like yes. The John Cena music would be appropriate for you right now.
Is that it? Yeah. Hey, gunshots, everything.
Welcome back to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, man. This is one of my favourite places to come as a guest.
Oh, thank you very much. I think it's because we let you just do what you want to do on this podcast.
It's great. It's great. And I've been seeing the calibre of guests rise. Oh, my days. You're going up in the world.
I think that's why we're having you back, because you're going up in the world, bro.
Well, oh my gosh, yeah, thank you, man.
We've got loads to talk about.
Yeah,
on today's
I'm becoming a pretty big deal now. I mean, it's about fucking time.
Come
on, Jesus Christ, I've been working at it for ages now.
Exactly.
I'm playing. Humility is fun, lads. Mm. Be humble.
But you were on our first podcast where we had the full backstory and how you got into comedy.
Yeah.
I was like, can we get the number of that podcast, please, Billy? Up, where we had a full conversation with you about how you got into comedy, how you transitioned from a period of transition.
Yeah.
Shout out to all my Man United supporters. How you had your period of transition from kind of wanting to get into comedy to getting into comedy. And now, I just want to talk about everything that you've been up to over the last few months, because you've been absolutely nailing it. Episode 305.
305. Mr. 305. Mr. Worldwide Pitbull.
Yeah. So listen to that episode if you want the full background. But yeah, man.
What happened to Pitbull, by the way?
I think he's counting his money, you know. He fucking nailed it.
Have you ever seen any of Pitbull's early work and then you compare it? Pitbull used to be able to spit, you know?
Yeah, he had some tunes.
Pitbull was hard, and then it was like...
He went where the money was.
We are the hotel, motel, holiday. Okay, Pitbull's gone, you know?
As a money man.
Him and Flo Rida.
Yeah.
Flo Rida, all that money, never fixed his hairline, just went bald.
Yeah, man.
It's weird, isn't it?
Do you know that man weave is a thing as well?
Oh my gosh, I saw that today. There's man weave. It costs a lot of money to make as well, though.
1500. I mean, that's technically technology. So one way you could kill time.
How could you tell, though? Because, like, I'm looking at your hair. Like, he looks like suspicious. Because it's got waves and that. You just need the AirPods.
Yeah, AirPods and waves, and then it's a blatant hair job. Yeah. But for 15, is it 1,500 quid or is it 15,000?
Well, like, the I price think it's 1,500.
So for 1,500 quid, if you're balding on top, there is a barber that will super glue an afro to your head.
Yeah.
And then shave it afterwards. And apparently they do it with beards as well.
It wouldn't be good for my kind of hair, but, like...
Why wouldn't it work with your hair?
Why would I want an afro? It would be some like weird version of blackface. You're going to get me cancelled or something.
A super tanning session. Like you go away for 3 months. Yeah. Tan bed
I look
every
like
day.
Robert Downey Jr. in that film. What was it? Tropic Thunder or whatever it was. He looks so weird. Fuck. No, not afro. You could get any kind of hair, can't you?
You can get any kind of weave slapped onto your head top. And it's
the glue is mad. Because they glue it onto your bald head.
Yeah. LeBron done it.
What, LeBron got a hair transplant?
Yeah. LeBron's hairline. LeBron's hairline.
I love how...
He done a reverse moonwalk.
We're talking about like men's hairlines on this podcast. This is great.
But I mean, today, like now, the thing is though, women have been doing this for years, and in this day and age, 2019, it's all about equal rights. So really, should men be being ridiculed for having a hairpiece? And I 100% think yes.
100%. 100%.
Be bald and proud, man.
Yeah, if you're going to go bald, though, like, grow a beard.
Yeah, grow
Don't
a beard.
Don't be a child in it. Like, be like be mature about it. Grow a beard. Like, like shape it up.
Yeah,
all sorts. Like, keep your beard looking fresh.
Yeah.
But don't just go bald and then shave, like, everything else, because then you just look like, I know, that's weird.
Unwell. You look a bit unwell, if I'm honest.
You look like a Malteser or something.
Yeah, that's not cool. That's not cool.
Well, like, you know the white chocolate Maltesers? They're weird, bro.
Yeah, that's off
like those ones, yeah.
Do you have strong hairline in your family, though? Do you think?
Yeah, we've got a good hairline. We just go grey early.
Okay.
So I've already got a couple of greys coming, but I get a skin fade, so no one really sees it.
But you can wear grey well, though. Grey makes you look distinguished.
That's what I'm saying. You see when the grey comes? Yeah. Hey, listen, I want it to all come in like one stripe or something. Do you know what I mean? Because if it comes like a bit here, I'll dye the rest, you know?
Yeah.
I'll dye the rest grey. I mean, I'll do it like that just to make it look cool. But
like a male Storm from X-Men.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm saying. Like I've got some superpower. Like I was in the lab and then something happened. But fuck it. Like I'll rock the grey. But we got a strong hairline on my dad's side, especially. But we just got only one of my uncles on my dad's side has gone bald. The rest have still got their hair, even like 60, 70. Like they're just like.
Just grey.
Sticking on.
Yeah. They must rip the uncle that's got no hair then, didn't it?
No. Because the worst thing, he's younger than a lot of them. So it's just mad. But he's like the funniest one out of them. So I think if he, no point ripping him. Like.
He learned to cope. That's why he learned to deal the clap.
Yeah, he went bald from like, I've seen pictures of him in like uni. Like,
seriously?
Bald, just gone.
I had some mates at uni.
More like balding, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah, one of my friends went bald at like 20 as well.
My mate went just for the full trimming it all off. Like, so he had a good beard, I trimmed it all off. And to be fair, he looked fine. I think if I started losing my hair, which I don't, very unlikely I'm going to lose all my hair in the top, I will just trim it all off, hope that I have a head shape that doesn't look too weird, doesn't have too many.
Do you know what I envisage with you? I reckon you're going to be that dad. As you're going to put on weight when you're older. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Really happening.
You're going to just be there. Like Marcus is just going to be the cool guy, but he's always got like a bit of rum or brandy with him. And he's sitting in a corner and he's like, kids, come around. Let me show you the gadgets we had back in the day. You know what this is? This is a cassette. We used to record Chase FM and them kind of things. That's what I can just see you doing, bruv. It's a lovely image.
I'm almost there. This Christmas is gonna pretty much be me sitting on a couch with a glass of brandy in my hand, looking at some retro films and tech. So yeah, I'm all over that. Right, anyway, enough about me though, bruv.
Let's get on to it.
We do like to talk about how we've been killing time, right?
Yeah.
And we always find a way to kill some time, and we talk about it before the show kicks off. Now, luckily, we're kind of differing opinions at the next thing I'm going to talk about. Before we press record, we played a new game off that. It's not developed by Apple, but it's part of the Apple Arcade setup that they got on the new iOS upgrade, where you basically pay $4.99 a month and there's loads of games you can download for free within that $5.99. So there's like 100 games at the moment, there'll be loads. One of my favorites was a game called What the Golf.
It's a horrible game. Absolute trash.
And... It's a game for people that don't like golf. So yeah, what was your experience like?
I thought that was absolute trash. I thought, like, if you know, in a game, right? Like, why do so many people play FIFA? Because they're shit at football. Yeah, like, even though they think, but you play FIFA because you're like, you're living out your dreams, innit?
Yeah.
Like, don't overcomplicate golf for me, innit? Like, if you're gonna make a game about golf, let me be good at golf, innit? Let me channel my inner Tiger Woods. Let me get the little lines and think, like, oh, remember the angles in maths that I was doing and stuff.
Yeah.
Let me bang it in that way. Don't try and, like, get me to hit like a human being and then kill a cat and then whatever. And it's like, oh, it's a golf game. Get the hell out of here.
See, man. I was like at the opposite frame of mind. I was like, oh, I hope this isn't like a super, like, you've got to be specific golf game where I've got to spend 20 minutes getting my right 9-iron club. Have I got the right gloves? Have I got the right endorsement deal? Are there games like that out there?
Oh, is it?
Oh, come on, bro. You know, like the train simulators and
golf. You don't need to do all of that nonsense. But just like, let me hit the ball at a right angle and the right power to get into the hole. That's the basics.
I like the fact one level you're hitting a golf ball, another level you're hitting a house. Another level you're hitting the flag at a light.
Do you know what that just reminds me of, bro? You know when you were younger and if you lived on a council estate, that was all your games. Like, you find a Coke can, yo, it's football.
Yes.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Why, you've just broken me down, bro. I'm like,
you kicked anything and it's like it became a football match. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so that's why it was too close to the childhood.
Okay. All right. Well, you just brought me back, bro. I'm like, yeah, man.
Nah, you were a popular kid in school, weren't you?
I wasn't an unpopular kid at school, I'll say it.
No, I bet you were popular because you're tall and handsome, bruv. I bet you got girls from like when you were born, innit?
I thought you were going to say
something. You know those guys, innit? You know those guys that were just attractive from the moment they were born? There was no need to develop game. It just came.
You just said, I got no game. I said it just came.
All right, cool. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, it was just like, you didn't have to like actually go through trial and error. It just happened.
I'll say this. There weren't many like stunners at my school, so you know there's a lot so there was only a select choice. And I will say this though, like, this was a bragging point, this isn't for me now, but you know, when I was in year 8, I might have been, you know, talking to the year 10s,
right? Okay,
two years isn't a big deal when you're an adult, but when you're at high school,
his surname might be Brunzy, but he was game for gold. Listen, this guy.
But yeah, no, when I was in year 8, I was talking to the year 10 girls, and the hardest thing about that was the guys in their year wanted to beat me up, and they've got like 2 years puberty on me, man. They were like giants to me. I felt like we were playing Space Jam.
I can't imagine.
And I was like Bugs Bunny.
I can't imagine you short. Anyway, where were we?
We've gone way off the rails. Yeah. And this is what happens when Kay Kerr's on the show. So what the golf played it. It's not a simulation. It's nothing to do. It is to do with golf, but it's kind of, they've warped it. I liked it. So if you're into games that are kind of tricky and crazy out there, I like it. If you're not and you like sim stuff, then I suppose.
Is that your favorite one on the arcade?
So far, yeah.
I haven't checked out. I need to. I'm quite interested in tech and gadgets, but games are like a whole...
There's one called Assemble, which is super neaky. It's like, you basically fix broken things. And I loved it. Like, you get like a broken cassette player and you get to use a screwdriver, take it apart and fix it. And I was thinking,
that sounds like my kind of thing.
Really? Oh, yeah. Okay. I loved it, man. It's got like a backstory. So someone will come up to you and be like, oh, I've broken my tape player and it's got like recordings of me and my mom having a good time who isn't around
anymore.
Oh,
and then you have to work out how to fix it.
Yeah, you open it up.
Oh my God. Yeah. That sounds so sick. I wouldn't fix it in real life. But like,
in real life, what would you say?
In real life, I'd be like, that's long, you know.
Get an iPod.
I'll just be like, why are you using that? Yeah. But, no, that sounds sick. That's a game I play.
Yeah. All right. Wicked. All right. Cool. Assemble. All right. We'll put links to that in the show description. But so, comedy wise, man, what do you want to talk about first, Kay?
Because you. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like I got to a stage in my life where I was like, if you're not going to give me anything, show don't tell.
Mm-hmm.
Go out there, make your own things. Like, I wanted to just start. Like, I've always wanted to just create, and then it was just about biting the bullet and just creating, rather than waiting for anybody to give you an opportunity. And funnily enough, when you actually create your own stuff and people like it, opportunities arise from that. Mm. So, moral of the story: quit moaning and get on with it.
So, when you did that, what was the outcome?
Cassette player. I wanted to do a podcast for ages, and then me and a few other comedians, we came up with a quotas full podcast, and then That went from strength to strength. We sold out a live show. That's all. We recorded that as well. We'll put out that footage soon as well.
Okay. You filmed that too?
We filmed
Sick.
It too.
Gotta film it.
Do you know what? I might show you a draft of the filming.
I'd love to see
camera.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was an absolutely incredible energy in that thing, and it was weird. You were like, oh my gosh, like these people listen to us every week, and they've come out paid money to see us live just to chat shit, and it was an incredible feeling. So how we did it as well, we were in the round. And we had people around us and they were listening to it. So it felt a lot more immersive. So it didn't just feel like, you know, you usually go to a live podcast, they're on a stage or whatever, but we're on a stage all the time doing stand up. We thought, why don't we have them as part? We're in there in the crowd and they're with us. So it was really cool. Lots of exciting stuff happening with that as well. And I filmed my own special in April and I released it in July. And that's, I mean, it's just over 19,000 views at the moment on YouTube.
Ching. And how did that come about? Like, what was the process? Did you just write the show and say?
So it was a show that I'd done. I had an hour of show that I'd taken to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and whatever. But I really just thought, like, you know, like you're seeing Netflix specials and all of these things. And I was like, right, okay, well, I'm not at a stage in my career right now where Netflix are probably going to knock on my door and go, whatever, like, do you want a special? And I was like, but I feel like my show might be funnier than a lot of the people. No disrespect to anyone, but I felt like,
I mean, name names.
But I felt like it was funny enough to be on a platform like that. But and I was also looking at social trends. I feel like a lot of time when you tell people I'm a comedian or I'm in any aspect of working in entertainment, people are like, oh, you're on Instagram or you're on YouTube. And I was thinking to myself, the way I got into comedy was watching people on YouTube. Like I used to watch Chappelle and Chris Rock and all these guys on YouTube. I was like, and now with YouTube being where it's at, like it makes even more sense that that would be the first point of call for any young person or like even people my age to go onto to discover comedy. So I was like, I'm going to film a special that's going to be Netflix standard or like, you know, like it could be on TV. So it's going to be in 4K. It's going to be the same sort of setup, but I'm going to do it, but I'm going to put it on YouTube. Because I'll be like that, because yeah, you won't get the money for it that you probably would do selling it to a TV company or whatever. But one, you own it. And two, it's about the long game. It's the exposure it gives you. It's how far it gets shared. I had people tweeting me from Switzerland, Singapore, India, Sweden, Germany, like just places where I was like, I didn't even know like, you guys would like, do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know it would translate there. So sorry. I didn't know it would translate there. And it was mind boggling to me. And I was like, okay, so this is the power of the internet. And the great thing is I can cut up little clips of it, put it on my Instagram and whatever. And I own it. I don't have to worry about it. Well, can I put that up? Or is there a copyright issue with that? Or do you know what I mean? All of that sort of stuff. It gave me so much artistic freedom in order to do that. And plus I could do it the way I wanted. So when I spoke to my management about it, probably got some of the best managers people would ask for. And they were like, yeah, cool. Whatever, they believed in my vision. And they were like, right, let's shoot it. So we done it together. And we show it at the comedy club that I've pretty much grown up in, developed, and sold that out. And it was like, people were starting to take notice, like, you sold that out. And then I sold out the live show with my mates. And it's like, wow. And then to the point where, like, a few weeks ago, I was doing live at the Apollo. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, and then that was something that I'd put on my vision board at the start of the year, live at the Apollo with, I'm shooting my own special and I did both of them. And it's just really weird. But I didn't even think Live at the Apollo would happen that quickly.
You are very aware that because of those two steps, that's what made Live at the Apollo come right at you though. So
yeah.
As opposed to another person who might sit there and say, right, well, I've got some material that's amazing for Live at the Apollo, but they've got no way of proving their concept. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, I think now more than ever, not even just shows like Live at the Apollo, but I think TV shows and producers in general are looking at online followings and it is becoming a lot more of a thing because obviously the way in which people engage with television has changed. People don't just necessarily watch it live and, you know, people may go back and watch it on demand. So they are going to gravitate towards people that are skilled as well as having a following. So
juggling the two is very, very important. And I find it funny when a lot of comedians in particular, because that's my field, are adverse to embracing online technology. And I always sort of, I'm always sort of like, do you know what I mean? It's like somebody going, emails. it's never going to take on.
Yeah.
The takeoff is absolutely ridiculous. But it's like, you can go direct to consumer now. You can go straight to consumer. You've got an idea. You can film it. Obviously, it requires a bit of investment from your end. But what's better to you know, money can be remade, right? But the regret of not pursuing an idea or creating it, it's just gonna
kill you.
Yeah,
quite literally.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the money that you've invested and the time you've invested has made return. Like I've just like you just said the Apollo. Yeah. But before we get onto the Apollo, like. I'd love to know, and I'd love you to talk to our listeners about your style of comedy in your stand-up special, because I don't want to go over that without kind of pointing people towards watching it, because it's fucking hilarious. Right?
Thanks,
How would you describe it? Someone says, what's your comedy style like, bro?
I'd say it's a lot more American in style.
Kay actually uses an American accent throughout the whole thing. Give us an example. It's great. Hey, how you doing today?
Hey, motherfuckers. I come out like Def Jam. Go, motherfuck you, man.
Hamburger.
Hey, man, what's the deal with the Subway, man? That's just me for an hour. What I mean in American in style is it's very gag heavy where I'm trying to be funny. There's a lot of impressions in there and I sort of try and make points and stuff as well, but try and do it in a way that's accessible. I would say it's just funny, but yeah, it's a lot more American in style because a lot of my influences were Black American comedians. It was that kind of like people like Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, and then later on like Bill Burr, maybe a bit of Russell Peters, that kind of thing. It's like all very American. That's the best way I could describe it. It's American style sound. That's the way it was described in a few reviews as well.
Yeah. I still feel like you're quite British though. Like you do cover topics that are very true to home.
Of course. Yeah. But that's just by virtue of where I'm from. But I don't think I'm similar to like Peter Kay or, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very
like,
different.
Or like any of the sort of comics that you probably see on TV.
Yeah. In this country. I think you're very London centric, but you don't close yourself off from the rest of the UK. If you're from Scotland or Indonesia or Sweden, like you said, India, you can still connect with what you're saying. Which I think is sick, man.
Thank you. Yeah.
I think you're kind of, it's solid comedy if you like classic comedy, but if you're like somebody who's part of the new wave Instagram vibe, you've still got energy in there that will kind of as well.
Well, I mean, also I think like there's a lot of people that like to sort of tell stories and stuff. And, I don't really like doing like long stories and stuff. I like doing bits that can go, you know, that people go laugh. I mean, it's great if you have like long bits and stuff and you can get the punchline that pays off. But I just like seeing people laugh consistently rather than, man, I'm going to tell a 10-minute story. And after this story, that laugh, you're going to laugh. Oh, my God.
That's pressure, though. And I reckon we can see that from you in the future. I reckon we'll get some
once us get like old and start being like, okay, let me give you the fucking truth.
Yeah, before up, like, my dick hairs were gray.
End up like George Carlin or something and just telling fucking, giving lectures at the stories, end, my end of my career or
back
something.
When we was in Europe.
Back in the old days when we were in the EU, it was great. We had regulations on our foods. No, it's none of this pink slime bullshit we get.
So, live at the Apollo, how much of the content that
I thought you were going to say, how much did you get paid?
Yeah, straight up. Let's put it out there.
Well, I did use material from our special in there. And the reason I did that was because it's a new audience. It's you're going to be seeing things like this. The Apollo's like shown all across the world, in Australia and on planes, New Zealand. Like I think even America, like on BBC Worldwide. So, when I was doing it, like the audience that came out to see that was like nobody had ever seen me before. So, I was like, let me just give them the tried and tested. So obviously, when they see that, they're like, oh, what's this? And then they can go and Google me or whatever and then see, oh, okay, wow, he's got a whole thing on there as well. And
how was it though?
Oh my God, man, like, you know when people say it's a dream come true, it's like it's usually very cliche, right? But someone found a tweet of me in 2011 saying, and this was before I'd even started stand-up, saying I'll be on Live at the Apollo one day. And to see that tweet, I was like, oh shit, like I've actually wanted. But do you know what's so crazy? Like when you get there and you're looking at it and everything and you're like, wow, this is a show. Like it's all over so quickly.
Yeah.
And when people tell you to enjoy the moment and stay in the moment, you don't really like understand it until you're like, you get to a point like that where you're like, oh my God, like I need to suck everything in because this is literally over in a few hours. Mm. And yeah, so I was there, I was looking around at everything, like the seats empty. And then I was like, oh, bro, I can't believe it. I couldn't believe I was doing it even when I was doing it.
Nice.
Like it was like even while I was on stage, I was like, it's lovely. I don't feel like, do you know what I mean? It was weird because it just felt like another gig. And then the next night I was doing a uni gig. So in a uni SU and it was just back down to reality. It was like, okay, yeah, we don't give a fuck who you are.
Keep you nice and level, I guess. Like last time you came on the show and on Twitter, you've always cracked jokes about your parents saying that they think comedy is a phase for you right now.
Yeah.
When you dropped the bomb, family, bro, I'm on BBC.
You want to know? My parents really didn't give a shit. Like I hung a picture of myself up at the Apollo at home.
Yeah,
walked by it. My dad walked by it. Didn't even realize. I was like, and my brother was like, "Oh, have you seen a picture?" He's like, "Huh? Oh yeah, it's nice." I was like, oh, great. But do you know what? Like, that's parents, isn't it?
Keeping
like,
you grounded.
Yeah. So even if they are proud of you, I think a lot of old school parents probably won't ever really go, yeah, I'm really proud of you. They'll just be like, yeah, whatever. But they'll tell their friends they are. Oh, yeah. My mum was like, well done. And my dad was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, well done. But it was, I don't think they actually understand the gravitas of it or whatever. And then just like, my mom was like, "What? So does this mean you're famous?" And I was like, "No, not yet."
Well, get famous quick so I can start bragging. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick, man. So Live at the Apollo, and what's next for you now, then, man? Because you've got, you know, you've done the live show, which you film. You've done Live at the Apollo. Like, what are you thinking next? What do you want to manifest next?
Do you know what? I really want to go on tour. Hopefully next year, try and do something about that. But nothing's set in stone yet, but hopefully. But I want to write a new show. And I think the next goal for me would be to get it on one of those platforms. Get the bag. No, I'm joking. Do you know what? I do want to write a new show and I want to be better than the last one. Yeah. I obviously want to continuously do better. But I think even the way in which we, given the lane I've created for myself, I don't think I need to be as rigid as other comics are in terms of like, I'm going to do an hour this year, I'm going to do an hour that. If I fancy putting out 10 minutes, I could put out 10 minutes. If it's well shot, I could put out whatever I want, really, because I've sort of created a lane for myself where it's like, I don't need to exist within that sort of ecosystem that you've created, and I can just have fun with it. And I think when I started like deconstructing the way you're taught to do things in the industry and I just started having fun again, everything started going a lot better because it was like, oh yeah, I got into this because I just wanted to make people laugh, man. Like, I didn't get into this because like, oh, you need to do this. It's like, fuck that, man. I'll just go on stage and just whatever comes to me, like I'm going to do today. The funniest thing is, after I'd recorded my special and I was going back on stage and I had nothing, like I had no material left in it. Like, so I was like, I was trying to, don't do all jokes in it. Don't do all jokes. Like, you've recorded that in it. And you were going on stage and you were like, right, shit. And it was like, crowd work.
So is everyone having a good time tonight? Yeah.
20 minutes of crowd work, like going at it. But it was like, I remember doing, Mo Gilligan runs a night that he does, Mo Gilligan and Friends. He does that at Up the Creek, funnily enough. And I went on stage that night. He only wanted me to do a 10-minute slot. And I went on stage and the whole front row, immediately as I got on stage, I was just picking up each one by one and just ripping into them. And like everyone was just going crazy at each one. And then there was this Colombian guy there. And then I just started zoning in on him, and then it was just it went from like one to another, and it was just magical. And I was like, I never felt so free in a while. And I was like, okay, like, yeah, this is the way to go. Just have fun with it. But I mean, I want to get into more acting. I want to hopefully write a sitcom. I just want to do a lot of things, man. But I just like creating. And I've realized that, man, I like having ideas and following through with them. Like, I come up with a lot of ideas, sometimes not even just for myself, but for other people. Like, I'll be like, oh, do you know what you should do? And I think in terms of my long-term future, I think I will get into a stage where I might help other people with their careers.
Nice.
I think that's probably an angle I would go into, like where it will be like finding a direction for people and being like say, for example, I'm like, Marcus, I see something in you. I want to help you get to the next level or whatever. And it'll be like, how can I facilitate that? And that's something that I'm really looking forward to as well.
When I want to do my 5-minute bit of comedy, I'll give you a shout.
Would you do comedy?
I'll give it a go. It's a great challenge. Why not? I might even be funny. Who knows?
You are quite funny, but I think
it's a different kind of funny though.
Yeah, you are quite funny.
Comedy is a different funny.
But it depends, I think, what kind of Marcus Bronzy you want to be on stage.
Just be myself, I guess. That's the easiest way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it not?
But would you swear?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Because your brand's quite clean cut and stuff. That's what I'm saying. I want to know if there's a darker side to you. It's just bro, like
you're talking to the guy that was with your 10s, yeah, while he was in your 8.
But that's what I mean.
You like, can get dark.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I swear. Do I come across as clean cut? Thank you very much. I like that.
As in like, yeah. Yeah, you do. You're very polite and...
Yeah, but being polite... Yeah, all right. I'll take that. Thank you. That's a compliment. Yeah. But yeah, I think I'll be up for that.
I don't think like... I can't see you... going on stage and going,
look at this dickhead.
Not even just that, but more like taking it to the edge. You know, when people go, ooh, like you're allowed to say that.
Really?
I can't see you doing that.
Maybe that's the challenge then, but not going into it so overzealously and killing my career before I've even started. Like going in and just saying.
Yeah, when I see certain open micers trying to be Frankie Boyle, I'm like, bro.
Don't do it.
You're not that guy yet. Like you need to build up a bit of a reputation.
Yeah, I don't think I could come in and like start trying to negotiate like trans situations the way David Chappelle did in his last sort of.
David Chappelle. Hold on. Why did you make him sound like some 18th century writer?
David Chappelle. The legend.
David Chappelle.
David Chappelle. Did you see? Yeah. Speaking about David Chappelle. But you are already helping your peers as well, because I don't know if it's as known as it should be, but you do a lot of writing for TV, like loads of writing for TV.
Well, I wouldn't say loads.
All of the TV that you watch is written by Kay Kurd, pretty much.
No. I mean, I've written on a couple shows, but like I helped on Tez Ilyas's show on Channel 4 called The Tez O'Clock Show. Yeah. And one of the sketches I wrote went viral. So not bragging, but it did. It was the Love Island sketch. We did like a... We did like what would happen if because he's Pakistani, and his show had like little sketches about like Pakistani culture and stuff like that. There was a segment on it called the Pakistani Broadcasting Corporation. So I was like, what would happen if they created Love Island? What would that look like?
Yeah,
and I was like, it wouldn't be any contestants in there; it would just be the mothers in the villa. And then him and the producer started laughing, and I was like, right, yeah, we should just do that. Trust me, we'll go viral. And they were like, none of them watched Love Island, didn't it? And they were like, I don't know, all right, cool, whatever. And then I wrote out like the outline of it and whatever. Like later on, like obviously other people like contributed to it, but whatever. And then when it went out, it was like, it went on every meme page imaginable. Mm. Like it went on like I'm Just Bae, Young Kings TV, Urban TV, all of these little Instagram meme pages. And it got like over 500K on each one. And like, I was just like, this is crazy. But it was it was so fun, because it was like, for me, that was something that I wasn't even in. Like I was nowhere near the shooting. I did the voiceover for it though. Like I did I did an impression of Ian Sterling on there.
Welcome back to What's Love Got to Do with the Island? Let's meet the Islanders. mothers of hapless singletons trying to arrange their children's marriages.
My name is Mrs. Ahmad. My daughter Sophia is 24. She's a dental nurse. Very sweet girl, very sweet. And I just want to find a nice boy for her, you know, someone who'll put her in her place and not let her be tortured by Western ideals.
Of course, Mrs. Ahmed, because we don't want radical ideas like equality seeping through society.
And,
shout out to Siri.
My Apple Watch care and I don't understand. Lovely. Doesn't understand Ian Sterling. Yeah, and I think it's a growth within myself as well to see something go well where you're not the star of it. Do you see where I'm coming mm-hmm. from? Where it's like you're sort of like behind the scenes about it, and it was great. Yeah. But that was a great show, it was great fun to do that. And I wrote a bit on Don't Hate, like the first series of Don't Hate the Players as well.
Yeah,
couple ghostwriting raps and that. Like, you know, I didn't ever think I'd be a rapper, but there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Out here doing the Quentins.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to write a lot more on TV shows, but I think I want to, hopefully, I mean, the next step will be like a sitcom or something for myself.
Yeah.
I really want a sitcom where I've got freedom to do what I want. So I don't know whether it's, I think it will be fun when I get to a stage where people are like, well, we just want to work with you kind of thing. Mm. And then they give you enough freedom to do what you want rather than try and shoehorn you into their particular way of thinking. And I think once I'm afforded the same sort of freedom like somebody like Donald Glover was on Atlanta, then I can create something that I'll really be proud of. Like, here's the budget.
Go.
Do whatever you want. Yeah. Yeah, just go.
Yeah.
And then that would be ideal to me, yeah.
I think that will come with the more stuff that you create and yeah. prove yourself with, that's going to come. Someone's going to come along with that check and then you can be like, great. I can make it for about 5% of what you're giving me. Take the rest, profit.
No, man, I think like, I'm big
sorry,
on-
co- Sorry, 99. Yeah. Sorry, 99%.
I'm big on collaboration. All right, cool, right? Cool. I think a lot of people are very precious about ideas as well. Yeah. And they're like, oh, no, this is my idea, man. Like, where should-? But I'm like, I'm always like, yo, like this is going to be better if there's a bunch of us doing this. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we may not make as much. I personally might not make as much money. But if I hire you and if I hire Billy, for example, and we're doing it together, one, you're not as lonely. And two, you can have fun while you're making the thing as well. And it's going to be better because the energy you've got, you might know, like when you're filming something, when it's by yourself, it's a bit like, oh, God, like, all right. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, very self-conscious or whatever. But when you're with somebody else and you're bouncing off their energy and they're bouncing off you, and then you just come up with things sometimes without even realizing it. You'd be like, oh, do you know what would be funny if we did that? And I think those moments are lost when people are so focused on, no, I've got to do it by myself. I'm going to write it. I'm going to star in it. I'm going to do everything. It's going to be me. Like, it's just like, bro, man, like, just give somebody else a chance as well. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, I think people respect you more as well and you have a better legacy. And also in this day and age, even for promotional reasons, like the more people you have it involved, the more people see it. You see something like Top Boy, look how many people were involved with that and how widespread it was, because it's like, oh, this guy, that person, she's in it. Whatever. Look, have you seen the soundtrack? So everybody was a part of it and everybody felt invested in it enough to promote it, which is why it became a global hit this time around on Netflix.
Yeah. And do you think we're getting more of that in the comedy scene in the UK then?
Hard to say. I'm big on it. I'm always working with different people and I'm always up for it. But I wouldn't say we see that sort of like on mainstream TV or anything like that.
Mm.
No, I don't. All right. I don't.
Here's like, some
people
more of
that. Do podcasts and stuff together, but I think podcasts are a bit of an easy one where like a lot of people just want guests. Like, so that one is, but when it's creating like actual things, I think we need more of it. But because you look at American writers' rooms, there's like 20 writers in there sometimes.
Oh, they don't mess around. Like, it's like the more the merrier, literally. There's so much content out there, people don't realize.
But people always go, oh yeah, they've got bigger budgets and whatever, and it's just like, fair enough, but
it works.
All it takes is one person to do that, and for for the show to become a worldwide hit, and then more people will be like, do you know what, we should do the same thing.
Yeah.
and then it will snowball. But because we've had things like Only Fools and Horses in the past, where it was like written by like one person, or like, and it had like an additional couple of people helping out here and there, people think it can just have, it's like, bro, that's not going to happen again. Do you know what I mean? You're not going to get things like that happening. But there are a couple little shows here and there. I think Stathlet's Flats is fucking awesome.
Mm.
I think that show is hilarious. But again, yeah, we don't see too many sitcoms that really like do that well anymore. I know, like,
I think the format's just, it either needs a big refresh or we just need to adapt it to that Netflix market. Do you know what I mean? That on-demand market. I think that like you said, that Only Fools and Horses format worked then, but now if I was to see something like that was that stiff with gags like that, I don't know. I think it needs someone like yourself to take it.
You can't be talking shit about Only Fools.
No, I think it's great. It's great, okay, but if that was to come out today.
Of course, yeah. But it's like Fresh Prince.
No, I think that's the exception to the rule. That's amazing today. When I watched that today, but that might be because I watched it when I was younger.
Yeah, but I watched it when I was young as well. But
young people watch it today.
Yeah, that would be a good litmus test, actually, for any of these sitcoms. If young people today still watch it and go, right. Because there's a lot of people that are saying Friends is shit now.
I've heard a lot of comedians actually say that Friends was atrocious. And I'm like, that was one of the highest...
Listen, I'm not going to talk shit about anything that like did well and it smashed it in its time like that, right? Well, I mean, I will talk shit about some things if it were racist or whatever, for example.
Or maybe R. Kelly, we'll talk shit about him. Yeah.
But, I mean... You're going to listen to Ignition. You're not going to turn it off.
Yeah. But I mean, I might step in the name of love sometimes.
Like, what, I can't listen to Vibe? What? I'm checking.
If you're at dinner and somebody's really going in about R. Kelly or somebody who's been caught out a celebrity, if you hit them with a line like that, so great triggering them. Sitting there pushing the button.
No, but Michael Jackson's the big one.
Yeah.
Because, and I've got a bit about the Michael Jackson for all now, but I just feel like no one's not going to listen to Michael Jackson, innit?
No.
Everyone's going to continue listening to Michael Jackson.
100.
He's uncancellable. Like, it's unfortunate, but like, if you do plan on touching kids, be talented.
What if it? No, but don't justify touching the kids. Be talented outside of it.
Yeah, okay, cool. because you'll get cancelled, but your art won't, innit? But do you think
if a video drops like
I'm
an R. Kelly
around? By the way, this is all humor jokes,
comedy podcast. Haha. If
tech podcast.
If they had the technology to bring back, no, if they had a video of Michael Jackson that was as damning as R. Kelly, do you think he could still survive? If there was a video and he's like, "Hey, come over here."
Have you seen the video for Thriller? I don't think it's as good as everyone says it is. I'll be honest with you. Do you know what? I think, firstly, if there was like a blurry video of anybody, you could possibly say it was Michael Jackson, just at different periods of his life.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot of looks to go on.
It could be Michael from any point in time.
I'm just saying, like, what would it take to cancel Michael?
If there was literally footage of him rubbing his cock on a camera and even then, people would still be like,
"How old was the camera?"
I wanna ride with you night, dance the night away. But I mean, the clues were there, man. That guy was literally singing "Pretty Young Thing."
Wow.
Allegedly.
But see, in case stand
I
up.
Want to love you, PYT, Pretty Young Thing. I want to give you love and care. And I don't know the rest of the words, but, you know, and so on and so forth.
So it would take a video to cancel Michael then?
I don't even know if the video would do it, like a recording or whatever. But I mean, we talk all about all of that sort of stuff. There were certain Hollywood producers that allegedly did a lot of this stuff and people had just forgotten about them. But there was like recordings and stuff of those guys and they're still pretty much working.
It's mad.
Kevin Spacey's still working, ain't he?
No, he got. Didn't he get booted off House of Cards? I've not seen him around since.
He's probably doing like a play or two here and there. Like, wasn't he at some award ceremony recently, like presenting?
Yeah, Teen Awards.
That's funny. See, there you go. Stand edgy. Up. Edgy. There we go.
One joke in the can. I've got 5 seconds of stand up. Yes. You thank you. Good night.
You could do it, bro. Actually, yeah.
So you're pretty good mates with Motor Comedian. You mentioned him a couple of times. You guys went to Fringe together, right? Am I right in thinking that, yeah?
Oh, yeah. We went to the Fringe Festival in 2015 and we done a little double hander. I did half an hour. He did half an hour. And we went for the last 10 days and we were we were trying to flyer and put our posters up everywhere. And it was like, oh my God, it was such a struggle back then. Mm. Trying to get people into your show. It was like midday. And at a Fringe Festival, people are still waking up at midday. Like, who wants to go to a comedy show at midday?
What kind of crowd were you getting in at midday?
Oh my gosh, it was weird, man. Japanese tourists, like some locals, like just, it'd be a mixed bag of people. It was just, yeah, it was just a really weird weird vibe a lot of the time. Oh, have I unplugged something by accident?
Nah, you're all right, mate. You're good.
Yeah, it was just a really, really weird group of people a lot of the time. They were nice people, obviously. They came to our show, so it wasn't good. But we would ask for like a bucket collection at the end. And I remember we would always be like, we didn't have that much money at the time. And we're like, oh, fucking hell, man. Can we buy lunch with this? Or we're going to have to like dip into our actual bank accounts and stuff like. And I remember one day the guy gave, someone gave €5 and we were looking at each other like, who takes these €5 though? Who takes the €5? No. Because that's £3. Yeah. No, if I give you £3, can I take the €5? So it's fun, but it's fun because it was what I tweeted about this as well because it took, we took a picture there of him next to one of the posters and I took one as well. But within 4 years and a day to that picture, when that picture was taken, he announced a Netflix special.
There you go.
So it was just, it was so surreal because it was so weird on my, on this day feature on iPhone, you know, in your photos, yeah. It was like, it came up with that picture and I was like, shit. Like, cause I literally just like, and it was like, he was announcing it and I was like, fucking hell, like that is mad. And that's one time where I was like, you know, when you're looking at a feature in your phone or and you're like, yo, iOS 12.9 or whatever it is, like, you did your thing, bruv.
Yeah, yeah. Respect.
That was sick.
So, good algorithms.
Yeah. I was like, I really like that. I mean, I actually like this, the on this day features on a lot of these platforms now, I think. If you're good with tech and you're backing up your stuff regularly, it provides you some great moments.
Nice way of tying that into tech. Thank you very much. So
I'm big on tech, by the way. Like I really want to do a whole show about tech.
We're here, bro.
Yeah. As in,
TV, radio, podcast. What do you want to do?
No, even doing stand up about it. It'll be weird, like, but that's, I don't know. Right. I'll find a way. But yeah, I really want to get into tech because I see like. Oh, who's that guy, Marcus Brownlee?
Yes, Marcus Brownlee, MBKHD.
He is killing it, bro. Yeah. Always with a red camera and stuff. Like, but yeah, no. Yeah, yourself, obviously.
Another
like
Marcus.
I see Marcus
Brownsy.
Yeah. I see the stuff you do. Like, I saw you in a car, like, driving around. Was it some muddy fields or something?
Oh, when I drove to Le Mans in the Ford Mustang.
Bro. I was so happy for you because I was like, that's sick what he's doing. But I was like, oh my God, that is such a, getting paid to do that stuff. That's sick.
You know what? It's nice being the dickhead with the super loud car for once. Yeah. Driving around.
And that's what they've asked you to do essentially.
Yeah. Pretty much. Hey, would you mind driving around this ridiculously large V8 5-liter engine? And that, my first answer was
climate change.
Who's going to pay for? Whoops. Who's going to pay for petrol? That was my first question because I'm like, bruv, this car's like £120 to fill up a tank.
Really?
Yeah. So yeah, that was a big.
What's
yeah,
the got best to piece of tech you've reviewed?
You know what? That's a hard one because it depends.
Okay,
what
this
is for? I've got to say one of my favorite pieces of tech has got to be the DJI Osmo Pocket because it's a little gimbal.
Sick. That is sick.
And it's like the size of a Mars bar after the sugar level.
Sorry, I fucked up the levels. Bar. I was shouting like that is sick.
That's all right. Yeah, and it's just like a gimbal. You can do time lapses with it. You can do photos with it. You can shoot stuff with it, and it literally fits in your pocket.
I've got a DJI Osmo 2.
Sick.
With but you have to put your phone on it and stuff, mm-hmm, and with a DJI app, But like the tracking on that is flipping incredible. But
imagine you can just leave your phone in your pocket, or you can actually connect your phone to the Osmo.
Yeah,
pocket,
I've seen it. Yeah,
and it just works. It's sick. So right, anyway, K-Club, thank you for coming on the show. Before
thanks
we let you go,
me.
We've put together a new little game that we're going to play with each of our
Ooh.
Guests. It's going to be fact or fiction, fact or bullcrap. For this, we're going to call it curd or turd.
Mad, love
right?
it.
So
inside the
we're going to ask you. We're going to pick a topic for you.
Okay.
Which is related to you very loosely. In fact, we stretched this beyond measure to get it there. So bear with me, right? So for this game of curd or turd,
yes,
we're going to give you some facts about curd, right? Not K-U-R-D, because that K-curd from your Kurdish background, I presume, right?
Yeah.
But about the actual food called curd.
Oh, right? As in like curds of whey.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to talk about curd, right? So I'm going to give you a few facts and you've got to tell me whether it's curd or turd. We even got sound effects as well. If it's curd, if it's correct, then we've got the ping. And if it's turd, wrong, we've got the...
Pretty generic.
Yeah.
Real.
What should we have had? Curd or...
yeah, I thought it would be something like that. Like it would just be me going inside or something.
should we do that? All right, you can pick. If it's curd, what is it going to be then?
Inside.
And if it's wrong, if it's turd, what are you going to say?
Allow that.
Okay, cool. So just inside. To clarify, for a curd, it's going to be...
Inside.
And for a turd, it's going to be...
Allow that.
Right, so fact number one, right? So we're going to talk about...
There's no music.
Cue the music. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Cheesy as shit. All right. So fact number one.
Cheesy. Okay.
You see what I did? Fact number one. Curd can heal sunburns. Whilst aloe vera might be one of the best remedies for sunburns, it's not always readily available or cheap. In such cases, curd is the next best alternative because applying it over sunburns will instantly ease pain, cool down the area, and reduce the redness. In fact, for best results, you should apply curd at least 4 to 5 times over your sunburns until it goes away.
Allow that.
So you can call that turd,
that's
then,
a turd. That's turd.
Inside.
Oh, that's true.
It's true.
Who the fuck's putting cheese and shit over themselves, bro? 4 to 5 times a day.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, man. That's why people end up like buying holidays from Thomas Cook. And then they're surprised, like
inside.
It goes down under. The place ain't been at all protected since 2015.
Inside.
Deserve every bit of strandedness you get.
That's curd or turd number two. There's a curd festival every year in Somerset. Every year, people flock to Somerset to create the best curd in a curd congeal-off, similar to the Great British Bake Off, where there's a panel of judges, including descendants of Curtis Cunningham. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, this is true, isn't it?
Creator of curd.
This is curd.
They test the curd by sampling a bit of it, swigging it around in their mouths and spitting it out, testing it for taste, sweetness, and congeniality.
I'm going to say that's true. Yeah, that's curd.
Allow that.
It's fucking mad, bro.
Allow that.
Allow that.
It's actually false, but that sounded pretty convincing.
That sounded like, because Somerset, we've got the big congeal off. Oh, every year it comes in. We've got Curtis Cunningham's granddaughter. She's going to be here. It's going to be wonderful.
Someone's going to write in and be like, you fuckers, it's true.
We have that with cider.
Curd or turd, it's a great stress buster. Cortisol doesn't just make you fat. It also increases your stress levels. That's why having curd every day is a great way of keeping your head calm, because it's capable of reducing your body's circulating cortisol levels. Is that curd?
Inside.
Or is it turd?
Allow that.
I should know this. But do you know what? A lot of like Middle Easterners and Greek people have like yogurt for breakfast and stuff.
True.
And they're all best stressed and angry. And economy's got to shit. There's wars all over the place. I'm going to say it's false. Yeah, it's turd.
Inside.
For fuck's sake, man. Hey, that's a lie. I'm giving you like hardcore proof that people that have any sort of lactose based products,
you know what, lactose was one of the things we were going to talk about, right?
Yeah,
but I thought you might be too clued up on it because you are quite wise when it comes to stuff like this. Right, are you ready for your final one? We'll do one more.
Let's
we've got
go.
Loads of these, but we'll do one
oh
more, right?
Man, I could do this all day.
Curd or turd, it improves your sexual health. Curd is
that's
a natural
that's false.
Aphrodisiac.
That's fucking turd, bruv. Ain't nobody had some cheese and gone, I feel horny, bruv.
Yeah,
no, you've never had some cheese strings and gone, babe, I'm gonna fuck the shit out of you tonight. Like
is there a
no girl comes home after like a ice cream and goes, yeah, you're gonna get it, big boy. Like it's not happening.
Is there a sexy cheese out there? What is the sexiest cheese? What would be a sexy cheese?
There like, is no sexy cheese.
I'd lick a Philadelphia off a nipple. That would be good. Does that count?
Jesus Christ. This guy, man. Philadelphia off a nipple.
I'd lick Philadelphia off a nipple, yeah.
Okay.
Put that on my gravestone.
Okay. A Philadelphia off a nipple. That is mad.
Just like a, not like a full teaspoon, just like a little bit of it.
But salmon usually goes with a cream cheese bagel.
I'm not eating a bit of salmon and cream cheese off a nipple. So, curd, improving your sexual health. Well, it's a natural aphrodisiac, but it also affects, but its effects on your sexuality are not just restricted to enhancing your libido and stamina. It, in fact, also has the ability to reproduce, to reduce impotence, sorry, and increase the volume of semen produced.
Hold on. Hold on. Increase the amount of semen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, like, all that's going to do is make you, like, have like, semen that looks like cheese.
That is
yeah.
a sexy cheese. Like, now, that's like a sexy cheese.
Curdled.
Sex cheese.
Curdled semen. Like, it's not going to come out like guns. Like, poosh. It's going to be like, it'll be like a dribble.
Blink.
That's nasty, man. No, man.
So that's down as, right, so that is actually.
Inside. What? So what? You can have cheese. Cheese makes you horny.
Curd. Curd isn't just any cheese. It's curd, man.
Nah, man. That's, this right. is nonsense, bruv.
Should we give you
where one? Is the fact for that, bruv? Nah, where's your source? I want to see your bibliography.
We will give you the link. We'll give you the link to Wikipedia.
No, I want to see your bibliography now, bro.
We'll give you the link.
Where's your citations?
We'll give you the link. All right, cool. Here's one more, right? Are you ready for this? Do you want one more?
Yeah, go on, all right, man.
Cool. Last one.
Fucking vexing me.
Anthony Joshua is one of a number of high-profile athletes that consumes vast quantities of curd throughout their training camp. It provides him with energy and slow intake proteins, vitamins, and nutrients he needs.
He looks like he eats anything, innit? Like, he looks like he was just born with a six-pack, though.
He looks like, I mean, the Nige genes in him are strong. He looks like he could just eat yams and he would just, his six pack would just grow.
Bruv, there was a picture of him like when he started boxing at 17 and the guys, I was like, how do I get to the before? Like,
yeah.
That looks good.
How does your before look like afters?
Yeah. Let me get to that level. But yeah, go on, true, man. Curd.
I know that.
For fuck's sake, bruv. Everything was the other.
I was going to say the only fight that he didn't have is 50 grams of curd. If every training session was the Andy Ruiz Jr. one, but I thought that would have been a bit too bait for you.
It looked like Andy Ruiz was having a lot of that.
He looks like he's a lot of, yeah, that was it. Curd or turd. Thank you for taking part in that game. How was that for you?
I lost. That was as bad as a golf game.
You know what? It's glad to play a game that's going to guarantee that you never fucking come back on the show again. You're like, no,
I'll
fuck
come
this
back.
Show, bruv.
I'll definitely come back here, man. Next time, let me just review a camera or something, innit?
Yeah. Okay. Cool. No problem. We've got some tech. We've got some tech that we can send you to have a look.
Where's
at.
Where's that VR? Let me watch the VR shit.
You have a VR, man. Fuck this shit. Yeah. No. Thanks for coming on the show. We'll put thanks links to the stand-up show that you've got out. We'll put links to Live at the.
Sorry, I've just noticed a shoe in the studio, and I want to know whose that is.
It's a slipper. It's not.
That is a mad.
It's a granddad slipper.
That is a mad shoe. That's
a granddad slipper.
That's not. That's spelled SHEW. That's one of those.
It's a granddad slipper. The early bird
nasty, bro.
Catches the worm.
Okay, you look like you're about to pick out Doc Cotton in a crowd and just.
Hey, they do look like something Doc Cotton would wear. They're my slippers.
Anyway, yeah. Studio check out Curd Your Enthusiasm on YouTube.
Curd Your Enthusiasm and also on all the socials as well.
Yeah, K-Curd, K-A-E-K-U-R-D. Just type in K-A-E-K-U-R-D on any social network you're on.
Yeah.
Hinge, Raya, Tinder. What else am I on? No, I'm not on any of them anymore. I'm joking, but I was at one point.
What was the best out of all those?
Raya was all right because everybody had blue ticks. I'm joking.
Elitist.
No, it was, do you know what it was? It was just fun to have for like 10 minutes and then you're just like, I ain't gonna talk to anybody on this anyway.
Are you old school? Do you prefer like the art of the chirps?
Do you know what I find really weird about dating apps, right? Is girls always say in their dating profiles like, oh yeah, like don't come at me with something that's more interesting than hey or hi. But when it's like with Bumble, for example, the girl has to make the move. What's their first move?
Hey.
Hi. How are you doing?
Have you got a male toupee? Have you got a male weave?
Just please, like glass houses and all of that.
So when they're hitting you up, what would you want them to say? What would be a good line? Have you had any good lines?
Yeah, I have had good lines. Someone's like noticed something about me on my Instagram page or like one of my photos or whatever, and they've said something funny, and I've been like, yeah,
keeper.
Yeah.
Or at least let him get past level.
But I'm
one.
Like, yeah, that's you got banter in it. Like,
yeah, I hear that.
Got banter in it. Like, I love it. Like, good chat. You know what I mean? Like, it's great.
Yeah, man. Nah, you're fucking funny, bruv. Thanks for coming on the show. Also, the Quotas Full podcast as well.
Absolutely.
Absolutely smashing podcast. I love listening to it. If you think Curd is out there by himself, when you put him in a room full of a bunch of his peers, you guys really come up with some cool shit, man.
Yeah, I mean, ask your dad.
Yeah. It's one of the best memes that's come out of that.
Yeah. I think it's nice because there's a balance of informative discussion as well as like funniness. Like, anytime it gets a bit too serious, somebody will come out with something and it just brings a
tone right back down to where it needs to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. All right, thanks for coming on the show. Plenty of ways to kill some time out there. You can find me, Marcus Bronzy, Marcus Bronzy, on all the social medias, and How to Kill an Hour. Type that in and you'll find us too. Plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.